It's a beautiful thing to go through the Word of God and see that God is interested in families. Because of the fact that families are the first institution that God set up, He gets to define them. Whereas in our society, we want to define family by a vote. We want to choose to determine what family is, whereas we come a little too late. Because once God created man and said that it was not good for man to be alone, and He made an help or someone suitable for him and made the woman, He instituted family there. And He instituted family to be able to bring life. That's man's opportunity to share in Godhood in a limited way. In a limited way, God allows us to participate in bringing forth life. Unfortunately, when we don't do and live according to God's standard, we can participate in bringing forth death. But it was originally designed to bring forth life, and God allowed that in the family. Yet, those that have read Genesis, Exodus, and moving on to Leviticus, we're understanding that God is setting a lot of rules and regulations and stipulations that seems multitudinous. Sounds so many. But I submit to you, what God is doing is helping those that He's created grow up so that they could reach a level of maturity, so that they could understand Him and what their purpose is in life. The Bible speaks of it in the book of Ephesians, that He wants us to come to the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we don't be like children anymore, tossed to and fro, cast about with every wind of doctrine. Well, doctrine, some people say, I hate doctrine. I don't want doctrine. I want to go to a place where they don't have doctrine, and I want to learn how to just love Jesus. The problem in this 21st century that we live in is many people act as if their brain will define words that have been codified by those that do that kind of work. I don't know if they call them lexicographers or not, but people that make lexicons, dictionaries. Well, the word doctrine means teaching. How can you say you don't want a doctrine, a teaching, but you want to just learn, which means someone's going to teach about Jesus? To make my point again, He wants us to mature, to come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we don't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Whether these doctrines come from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says the Spirit. It speaks expressly that in the latter days many, Drita, shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I want us to understand, I'm going to do like TV does. Sometimes TV give you a prelude or give you a little sampling, a promo of what's going to happen. When we talk about doctrines of devils, Paula, I got it listed here. This computer will do wonderful things for me. I can touch a word and make it pull up every time that word is in there, and I can make it go behind the English and pull it up, the Greek word, so that if the word is different in English in one or two places, it's the same word. But the preamble, not the preamble, but the prelude to what it is that we're going to find that during the time Jesus walked on the earth, there were a lot of spirits, and they were classified as unclean spirits. Doctrines of devils, that He wants you to be mature enough that you don't get influenced and contaminated by them. And Jesus called the spirits that would inhabit people unclean spirits. I just thought I'd just throw that out there while we work through this so that Leviticus 11 can come alive. You know, like little monster pictures I see sometimes on TV, and they say, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. So walk with me from the earliest part of the creation in the book of Genesis chapter 7, verse 2. Someone turn to that passage for me so we can walk through these scriptures. They're going to be so good. They're going to be so wonderful. I believe if I did it right, we're going to be able to see that this unclean, the first point, this unclean and this clean is something that has been set up before. And I want to just tell you before I even prove it that the unclean and the clean is tantamount in many ways or equal in many ways to holy and unholy. There's a little difference now. It cannot be holy if it's unclean. It doesn't have to necessarily be holy because it is clean. But if it is clean, it's in the position to be holy. If it's unclean, it is not going to be holy unless it's purified and made clean. Is that fair? Because you keep seeing these terms in Leviticus, unclean, holy, and defiled. We want to work with these terms. Did anyone turn to that for me? Genesis 7 and 2, please read that.
Take with you seven pairs of all clean animals.
Now, when I tell you to take with you this, I should have had verse 1 read, so that you would know that it's about Noah, that God is getting ready to judge the earth because the earth is fully wicked, and the Bible says that the heart of man was fully set in him to do evil from his youth, and the earth is full with violence. So God is going to come and destroy the earth, going to kill men, going to wipe them off, going to wipe off the beast and leave a certain remnant so that man can start over again, because I didn't force men to love each other. I didn't force men to treat each other right. But the way that it's going right now, they'll destroy themselves. I must intervene because man is not growing up in the way that he should. So what I got to do is I got to get rid of all of the malignancy and give him a new start. So God is telling Noah, what do you do to preserve animal life? Please read it again.
Take with you seven pairs of all clean animals.
Notice, this is before there was even a Moses on the scene, even before there's the Ten Commandments, even before the flood. This is the preamble before the flood. Take with you seven pairs of clean animals. Please read.
The male and his mate. And a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, and seven pairs of the birds of the heavens also, male and female.
Go ahead.
To keep their offspring alive on the face of all the earth.
I believe that what I've been able to show that in the scripture, before there was a flood, God had already made a classification, a categorization of clean and unclean. He did not use the term wicked and not wicked. There's a classification given. And if you'll notice, he gave two classifications. One, for the unclean, he allowed there to be less of the unclean animals than he did the clean. Now, when we read Leviticus, we're going to see that the unclean animals, we're going to see that they have a restriction. Oh, you can't just go eat them. You're not to touch some of them. It's almost as if there's a protection for them. Now, with the clean, he gave more. There were seven pairs, and the male and the female, for them to reproduce. I just wanted us to see that this is something that was already set before the Ten Commandments were given. Because if I say the law of Mount Sinai, in our normal parlance, it's easy for us to say the Ten Commandments. Now that we see that there's already that set up, understood, let's move to Leviticus chapter 11 and see where we were. Because in Leviticus chapter 11, when we were there the other day, there was a lot of things in there that talked about clean and unclean. And, you know, a lot of times people have a problem with that. But I want us to understand that those classifications had already been set up. Now, in Leviticus chapter 11, Dree, read the first verse, and I'm going to do some stuff, and I'm going to show you in just a minute. Go ahead.
And the Lord spake to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, speak to the people of Israel, saying, these are the living things that you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth.
God had allowed them at this particular time that there's certain animals that you could eat of all the living animals that are on the earth. I've already read when we did Thursday night, I showed that the animals had a covenant with God at Genesis chapter 8, that God made a covenant with man and with beast and with fowl of the air. Am I correct? God made a covenant. And that God allowed them to eat all of the animals when they came off of the ark, clean and unclean. There was no defilement at that time when they ate that. God said they could eat all of the animals. And God also made animals subject to his laws. I showed that. God said that if an animal kills a man, he shall be put to death. If a man lay with an animal, if a man has intercourse sexually with an animal, he shall be put to death and the animal shall be put to death. If an animal kills another animal, if that animal, when we read the law, the 21st chapter, I believe, of Exodus, if your animal kills my animal, if they're plowing and that animal had been known to do that before, then the dead animal is yours and we put the other animal to death. Animals were subject to God's rules. That didn't mean that the animals had eternal life, but there is something about the animals being made to serve man, that they had stipulations, that there were certain ways and certain behavior that was not accepted. A pit bull, let's bring it to today, that would go and bite someone. If the owner knew that the animal had done that before, then the animal would be put to death. And the man would be put to death because you didn't control your animal. I've stated before when we talked that God was trying to promote an atmosphere where you could love your neighbor. I can't make you love because that's a volition of your own heart. But I can fix it where he's going to keep his animals in check. He's got to put safeguards around his house because if you're there and you fall, he's responsible. You dig a pit, you put something around it. I submit to you that God was always wanting peace with him and man with man, and man with the animals. Okay, that's where we are. Now, I want you to listen to something because we're not going to read everything in Leviticus. There were certain animals you could eat. Thank God for computers. How were men able to do what I'm getting ready to do for you all without it? In Leviticus 11 and 4, it talks about an animal that is unclean because he does a divide the hoof. In 11 and 5, it says the same thing is unclean. I'm going to just tell you that 32 places in the 11th chapter of the book of Leviticus where things are unclean. There are 32 places in 22 of these verses where things are unclean. And what I'm trying to make you understand is that God is helping Israel to grow up and understand the difference between unclean and clean. I've already taught most of this, so I want to bring those that were not with me Thursday up to speed. There are animals that are ravenous. They eat carrion, roadkill, things that are dead. Those animals are unclean for you to eat. Animals that will eat another living animal, unclean. It's unclean because, you know, there are some animals that will just eat an animal while it's alive. It doesn't wait for it to die. It'll start, for instance, a serpent. When a serpent sees a rat go into a hole, or probably don't even see it, they say their eyesight's not that great. When that tongue stick out like that and you see it wiggle, he has a thing in the back of his head called a Jacobson organ. Now, it wasn't a Jacobson organ when it was designed, but I guess whoever discovered that's what it was, they named it after him. So when he sticks his tongue out, he can get the scent and feel the heat of that animal. It goes back in his head, and it lets the animal, the serpent, know where it is. And he can go in that hole, and that rat, he can do his little teeth all he wants to. That serpent has some kind of thing in his jaw that will unhinge it, and he just swallows it alive. That animal is unclean. Animals that feet does not part the hoof, like I said, two triangles like a deer's hoof or a cow's is unclean. If his pad touches the ground and doesn't separate, it's unclean. Somebody asked me why. I'll talk about that in just a moment. The fish, the animals that are in the water, if it has fins and scales, it's clean. If it does not have fins and scales for the propulsion, it is unclean. The animals that fly in the air, the carrion, they're unclean. The birds or the creeping things that fly in the air, if it has more than two legs, if it just walks and flies, it's unclean. If it has four legs and the back two legs are jointed and it hops like a grasshopper, it's clean. Somebody say, Tim, how do you remember that? I just thank God. I mean, it's nothing special that I've done, but the ones that hop are clean. The ones that don't hop are unclean, and many such like things. Now, when we look at those animals, it is a decree by God that they're unclean. But there is also in other nations, they would serve and worship other type of animals. Many know that the Egyptians would worship a serpent. Am I correct? Many know that they would worship carrion beetles. They call it the dung beetle or the scarab. But somebody say, but didn't they also worship the cow? But I thought the cow was clean. So I do need to make a distinction that it is God's decree, but multiples of those animals, like the eagles, Roman had an eagle inside, the Egyptian would worship the eagle, etc. They would be unclean. I submit to you that God was teaching them something in particular. I want you to understand that when I say God is teaching them something in particular, Gary has already talked about the book of Acts chapter 10, but I don't know how far he got, but I know that if Drill go to the 10th chapter and the 15th verse, that'll help me, and if Anna go to the 11th chapter and the 6th verse of Acts, we can move right along. See, the thing is that if we can get these, there's a lot of verses we're going to cover, and if I can have two people working on it with me, I can let God's word talk and I can make commentary and we can try to make sure we understand. Thus far, have you followed with me that unclean and clean had already been stated before, and it had nothing to do with sin and ungodliness. That at one time they could eat all of them, and that God made a covenant that he would never destroy the earth again with flood again. But that, you know, that he made the rainbow. That's the covenant with man and beast. But now God saying, I'm going to teach you to concentrically worship me the way I want to be worshiped. And there are some things that I want to teach you. The Almighty God that we serve, Paula, is the master teacher. He teaches by didactic. That means he teaches by precept and word. He teaches by word pictures. He uses poetry. He uses things like that. But then he teaches by the very things that we see in nature. He created a culture for those people. If you've been around people that hold to a Jewish culture, he taught them a culture so that they would be separate from other people insofar as how they live. That way I can teach you what I want to teach you. I'm not going to fully disclose it because you wouldn't understand. If you can't do what I tell you in the infancy state, don't try to tell a grown man what to do if you couldn't tell him what to do when he was little. Dree, what does it say in 10 and 15 in the book of Acts?
And the voice came to him a second time. What God has made clean, do not call common.
The background of this is that Peter was on a... There were some men that had got a vision from an angel. One was Cornelius. Well, Cornelius, he was what it's called a God-fearer. He was a Roman. He did not have the covenants of God, the ordinances. He didn't have the background of having God's law. But there were always people that would follow God. They would either be proselytes or they would adhere to what teachings God had given the Jews. And Paul says in Romans chapter 2 that many times they lived a better life than the ones that were Jews. Well, this man wanted to know about God. God gave him a vision. Peter was in another place. He was in Joppa at a man's house, Simon a tanner, which a Jew really shouldn't have been there anyway because they tanned the hides of animals and it would stink, etc. And then he got the vision that there was all kind of manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's the very things that's in the book of Leviticus that are unclean. the four-footed beast and creeping things. And now he's telling him to eat. Peter's like, no, Lord. No. I never done wrong. Not me. And it happened three times. There's only a few things in the Bible that happen three times back to back. One is Isaiah 6, where the seraphim cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This is great emphasis for the Hebraic mind. And he says, I've never done it. I've never eaten that. I know how to be separate. Do you read that verse again since I give him background?
And the voice came to him again, a second time. What God has made clean, do not call common.
Yes.
This happened three times. And the thing was taken up at once to heaven.
This happened three times. God said, what I have cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. Therefore, what I've said is that there were different characteristics of the animals. There were different ways that people worshiped those animals or used them in their services. And I showed before that God did not want you tossed about by every wind of doctrine. And I showed that doctrines would come from demons, so they would attach or affix certain ways or certain animals to worship us, because the ancient world was full of worship. But I also said that there's decree. And so now, just like the animals were called unclean by God's decree, because the decree was there before the law, now God has said, if I decree that they are clean, don't you call it common or unclean, because what God has what cleansed calls thou not common. Read the 35th verse for the sake of time. Read 34 and 35.
So Peter opened his mouth and said.
Now, Peter opened his mouth and said, when all of this stuff had happened.
Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him.
Peter says, I understand something. When I see this sheep with all these kind of animals on it that are unclean, somebody say, how do you know they were unclean, Tim? It just said all manner of four-foot beasts and creeping things. First of all, when it said all manner, when I know that some animals are clean and some are unclean, I know some of them had to be unclean, but I listened to Peter's mouth. Peter said, no! I never eat anything common or unclean. How bright do I have to be to know that if Peter saw it, he saw unclean animals on there, and the picture was being given to him that, Peter, I have now cleansed these animals. These animals you are able to eat now. It's not going to have a spiritual significance on you whether you eat them or whether you not eat them. Are you with what God is saying here? But Peter said, wait a minute. I'm at a Gentile's home. I just left another place, a Simon and Tanner. I know what it is. Bang! The light bulb came on. God is not showing partiality. And in some places, he never did. It always had been, if an individual would serve God, he would accept him. Ask Ruth. Ask Tamar. But he said, I know of a surety that God has not got partiality. Any nation that serves him and fears him will be accepted. That's a key word there. Dree, when you get a chance, write accepted up there. That's a beautiful word for us to keep in our mind. Here's the deal. The Gentiles were considered synonymous with those animals. Did you see Peter make the connection? He didn't see a sheet let down with Greeks, Africans, Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, people from India, China, you know, that were not Jews. He saw a sheet let down with animals, the foods that had been called unclean. And he said, wait a minute, this is what God is saying. But I submit to you, this is not the first time God had said it. And go ahead and read for me 11 and 6 of the same chapter. People start questioning Peter about what you did. And what did Peter have to say? Three, go to Mark chapter 7 for Tim.
Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air.
Peter, what Peter is doing is recapitulating what he had seen to the other people, because some people had a problem with him eating with those Gentiles or the people that would have been considered like the wild beast, please read, or the unclean beast.
And I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.
Please read.
And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was.
I think that validates what I said it happened. I think if I read enough to validate what I said has happened, either the person can get a CD or go to the podcast and see that I did not make this up. So Peter reiterated, this is what I saw. And then he'll go on down and tell that when they got the Spirit of God on them, the same way we did, go ahead and read that verse 15,
And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them, as on us at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water.
John washed the body with water. Baptism, if you read Hebrews chapter 6, are called washings. John baptized people with water. Read on.
But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost.
You will be washed or cleansed. Cleansed with the Holy Spirit. Next verse.
For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?
Do you follow me thus far? God was giving them a picture. You asked me one time, I don't see how you get the symbols. But this one, he's spelling it out for us. And when we spell it out, now when you go back and read in the Old Testament, you say, okay, this is unclean by decree for a time. This is unclean for decree by a time. And if you will, go to Isaiah 11 and 6, reread for me Mark chapter 7. The reason that I'm having these things pulled, because I want you to see that in different places God would talk about certain things. Most of the time I teach chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But this is problematic for a lot of people. Because what they'll do is they'll say, well, you eat shrimp now, or you eat so-and-so-and-so, and that was under the law. But you want to say something about homosexuality, but now you eat all kind of meat. You want to say something about adultery, but now you eat all kind of meat and things like that. And I'm going to show that when God looses something, or it was already to be that way to start with, and then it was talking about something emblematically, and when it is something that he said you still have to hold to, it's going to be spelled out that that's the way that it was to start with from the beginning, so that he can get the honor and the glory. Remember, these are people without Bibles. These are people that can't go to the internet. And the best way for them to learn something is through their culture. Many a man learn how to skin a fish without reading a book. How to skin an animal without reading a book. How to hunt. Because they learn it from their daddy or from the people that they live with. I won't talk about those that learn how to head hunt. Because they learned it the same way. Please read Mark chapter 7. What we got going on here in Mark chapter 7 is that when Jesus told Peter what God has cleansed, do not call common. I'm going to show that he had already shown that it wasn't the animals in the beginning that was the problem. That's my decree to teach you separateness, how to grow up. By understanding clean and unclean, you're going to understand what's acceptable and not acceptable. Please read.
Start at one
for me, please.
Now when the Pharisees gathered to him, with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled.
I want us to keep in our mind the word defiled. That's what the unclean thing will do. It will defile a person. The word defile means it makes you become an abomination to God. It makes you smell putrid. You know, like when you hold your nose and you try to talk and you hope the scent doesn't go into your mouth. This is what defilement meant. Because God was teaching, I don't want you defiled. I don't want you unclean. I want the family that's going to represent me to be able to exercise discernment, but I got to mature them and teach them because I know you're slow. I want to give you one last picture for free. It popped in my mind earlier today. Just like I said, the animals are man's servants and that God uses animals to show the Gentiles. Don't he use animals to show the children of God? Don't he call them sheep? Didn't he call them sheep? It doesn't mean that you are going to be a meh, but your characteristics. Doesn't he call the ungodly the goats? I'm trying to help us understand that the Bible will explain itself as we go. Tree, please read that again. He said they'll defile themselves in verse 2, or that the Pharisees said they would defile. Go ahead.
Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed.
I'm going to stop there and just say they had their traditions. They had went further than what God said in unclean and unclean, and what is pure and unpure. They say there's certain way you got to wash. Because if you don't wash the right way, you're dirty. So what Jesus is going to do is show what we're talking about today, clean and unclean. Read verse 4.
And when they come from the marketplace.
Except they wash.
And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, the Pharisees. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches.
In Leviticus, we read that there were certain vessels that had to be clean when they made the sacrifices, remember? So that they could be clean. So they're still doing certain things like that, and they've added to it. Read the next one.
And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?
What they're saying is, why do your disciples? You're supposed to be this great teacher. Why do your disciples eat with defiled? Your disciples are unclean. Why are you letting them eat in an unclean manner? Don't you know the difference between clean and unclean? And holy and unholy? Did you see how I made that connection? If you say they're defiled, and defilement is abomination, and you let your disciples eat with unclean hands, everything they touch is going to be unclean. Everything they touch will be defiled. And you letting this go and letting them eat this in their body? They weren't supposed to eat anything that's defiled. They're looking and saying your disciples are wrong, and you didn't even put them in check. But Jesus is going to show what the true essence of clean and unclean is. Read, I can't hardly wait.
And he said to them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites?
First, he uses an ad hominem. He makes an assertion toward the man. And by it being a true one, it's a judgment. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? I don't bite my tongue. I know who I am. I know what I'm doing. And I know what you are doing. You are trying to get honor from men. And you're trying to condemn me to raise yourself up. You are hypocrites. Read, explain it, Jesus.
As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Mm-hmm.
In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.
One of the saddest things that you can hear Jesus talk about, he says the same thing in John chapter 4. He tells the woman at the well, you all in Samaria, you worship, but you don't know what you're worshiping. Here he says, you all worship me in vain. He said, Isaiah said, you all really do worship me, but it means nothing. It's in vain because you teach for teaching or doctrines the commandments of men. Explain verse 8.
You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition.
I submit to you that what Jesus said, you are defiled. You worship me in vain. You worry about somebody washing their hands and you thinking that's defilement. But what you overlook is you lay aside the commandment of Almighty God. We're about the commandment of God. And you teach the tradition of men which go against the commandment of God and don't see yourself as defiled. We in America often, many churches, we teach the tradition of men and throw the Bible out the window. Throw God's word out the window and worship him in vain. Therefore, when you start teaching God's word, it sounds like a foreign language to people. Please read.
For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother.
I'm going to just stop it right there and just show that what happened is that whenever they would take and give a gift, a burnt offering, that would be korban, is given to God. They could also make their land korban. You could dedicate your car, or what, they didn't have car, but animals to God, and so instead of taking care of your parents when you're old, when they're old, I dedicated this to God, and whatever they could have benefited by me, I'm sorry, they can't do it anymore. They can't benefit now, it's dedicated to God. Now, I can use it, but it's dedicated to God. What he's saying is, you think it's defilement of not washing hands. You took God's commandment to honor your parents, and tried to find a loophole and say, I've given it to God. Well, Daddy, I mean, I know you're hungry and all, but I have nothing for you, man. It's dedicated to God. Mom, I'm sorry. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, God has moved so heavily on my heart that I dedicated it. I didn't realize you were going to need something. I can't give it to you now. Jesus said that is wickedness. That is defilement. And that's what you teach. And you want to say something to me and about disciples about washing their hands? You are an hypocrite. And you are the ones that are defiled. Well, let's see if it's a little different. I want you to go ahead and look at verse 15, Dree. Let's go on down to verse 15. As a matter of fact, I'm going to turn to Matthew 15 after you read. You go ahead and read that. I'm going to turn to Matthew 15 where we have a parallel passage of that. Read that. Read the 15th verse, Dree.
There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him.
Listen. Did you catch that? Read it again, Dree. Read it with all your power.
There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him.
Jesus is explaining why it is that what they think is not defilement. There is nothing that goes into a man, he said, that defiles him. Not the four-footed beast, not the creeping things, not the lizard, not the people that eat rattlesnake, not the person that if he ate a buzzard, that does not defile him. It's what comes out. I submit to you that this was God's plan from the beginning. In the beginning, it didn't defile man to eat those animals, did it? No, it did not. I submit to you in the end, it will not defile man. Did you still have it for me in Isaiah 11 and 6? Read that for me. This is so beautiful. God's word is so complete. Read it.
The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb.
There will be a time when a wolf will dwell with the lamb and the lamb will not be in the wolf's belly. Please read.
And the leopard shall lie down with the kid.
I've taken that nature where they devour and they slaughter each other. There will be a time when that won't be. Please read.
And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together.
Now you know a young lion and a calf, that's not a peaceful situation for one of them. But the Bible said they'll be together. Please read.
And a little child shall lead them.
And a little child will be able to lead all of those. Please read.
And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox.
He can eat straw. Remember when God created animals, the herb, that was his food. The herb of the ground. God said there will be a time when there will be able to be peace. There will be a time when there won't be those animals doing those things. I submit to you that there will be a time when the Gentiles will be able to get along with the children of Israel. Okay, the other animals represented the different worldly systems. Paul, you will see the same thing when you read the book of Daniel. He's going to use pictures of animals to represent world kingdoms. Read again.
And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass.
We're talking about a child smaller than Josiah can play on the hole of a serpent that can take you out just like that and be no problem. Read.
And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea.
The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God. The Jew, the Gentile, and every other nation will be filled with the knowledge of God. But for a time, I'm using you, Israel, to give my laws, to give my standards, to mark out how to love your neighbor, to mark out how to be responsible for your debts, to mark out how you execute judgment for those that will not do right, so that the nations can see. They don't have my laws like that because from the time of the flood, instead of them sticking with me, they developed their own way of worship. Romans chapter 1 says they start worshiping the four-footed beast and creeping things, the very things that's listed in Leviticus chapter 11. Now, when I go back to Matthew chapter 15 to augment what Jesus was saying, Jesus says in the 15th chapter of Matthew, he says he called the multitude to hear and understand. This is the same passage Mark is given a reporting of this, of what she read in Mark chapter 7. I'm saying Matthew is giving a reporting. He said he called the multitude and said, hear and understand. That which goes into a man's mouth, it said not that which goes into a man's mouth defiles the man, but that which comes out. This defiles the man. Then his disciples said, do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? I guess so. He called him a hypocrite. And then he proved it. Don't you know that everyone that was there at that time and that culture knew that those people made their stuff korban and didn't take care of their parents, but they were still walking around like they were the holiest and the most righteous and the clean ones, and they were thinking, we could never do this. And he just called them hypocrites, and he proved it. He said, Moses' law that you're trying to use for clean and unclean says this, but you say, no, we're not going to. And so he said, do you know they were offended when they heard this? Listen to see if Jesus says, well, I don't want to hurt their feeling. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. I love Jesus. I don't want to follow a mealy-mouthed man. I don't want to work on a job with a mealy-mouthed supervisor that will tell me to do one thing, and if it's wrong when I do what he says, he acts like he didn't say it. I don't like that. Children don't like a mealy-mouthed parent. You say that he can go, and then when the daddy come back in, well, I didn't say. I guess he just went on his own. We don't like that. Why would I want that from my Lord and Savior? Then he says, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. The disciples wanted to know. He said, declare to us the parable. I'm going to show you what Leviticus 11 represents, I've shown you on one side, it represents the Gentile nation. Now we want to see what was it, the maturity that the children of Israel were supposed to learn, and what is it that we're supposed to learn from clean and unclean. It says, are you also without understanding? Verse 17, do you not yet understand that what enters goes into the belly and is cast into the drought? They may have had outhouses or latrine areas where it would be carried away from the city. But in other words, what you eat comes out or else you're constipated. Okay? Can I say it more clearly? All right. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Jesus knows how to tell it like it is. Then he says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. They defile the man. Wait. In Leviticus, we can't eat the serpent. It makes you unclean. We can't eat the rabbit because it doesn't part the hoof. They say it chews the cud. We can't eat the birds that fly that eat carrion. But Jesus says, that's not what defiles him. And what comes out of your heart. And I'm submitting you that what he was doing in Leviticus is teaching them how to discern. There are certain characteristics of certain animals I don't want you to have. There are certain things that they do. If they should fly, then why are they walking and flying? They're inhabiting two places in a certain way. I'm not saying that's the totality, but I'm showing that I don't want anything that looks like perversion. I want separateness. This is the key, separateness to me, because I'm worthy. Read it again. That which proceeds out of the mouth comes from the heart, they defile the man. What is it to defile the man? For out of the heart, I need somebody to read, I'm getting tired of reading, I'm getting confused. Verse 18 of Matthew 15, whoever has it, read it for me.
But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person.
19.
For out of the heart come evil thoughts.
First, evil thoughts. This is not a raven. This is not a pig. This is not a serpent. But Jesus says this defiles a man. Next.
Murder
defiles a man. There is nothing that you eat that defiles you. There is nothing that you drink. Somebody says, what about drugs? I submit to you that I've seen people that take drugs before or get drunk. And I have seen that when a person get drunk, then they don't have the resistance to the unclean spirits that inhabit this world or influence. That's why some men, when they want to talk to a woman and they want to try to get next to her in an ungodly way, and he doesn't have the nerve because he thinks she's too pretty or she won't want him. He'll drink a whole lot. And then when he gets inebriated and he loses his habitions, then he says too much and sometimes gets slapped. But they drink and get their courage up. The so-called Indians in America, notice I said so-called because they really weren't Indians, they called it fire water. Please read.
Murder. Adultery.
Jesus says adultery still defiles. Please read.
Sexual immorality.
Men with men, women with women, man with somebody else's wife, man with his daughter, man with a child, man with a beast. Sexual immorality, the Greek word there is porneia, and it encompasses all of those. What else?
Theft
defiles a man. You worry about a cup of the salsa, Jesus says. And this is what defiles him. Please read.
False witnesses
trying to get somebody put to death for something they shouldn't be put to death for, trying to take something from somebody because false witnesses was used in the case of court. If I didn't like you and I knew you were being tried for a capital punishment, I could lie so that you could be put to death. But if they found out I lie, guess what? They put me to death and let you live. False witnesses, please read.
Slander
or blasphemies, go ahead.
These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone.
To eat with a ceremonially unwashed hand is not what defiles a man. I submit to you that God was trying to train them in maturity to learn that when I decree something, I mean it. So he used the animal as well as these stipulations that were already in the law. He was painting them a picture. So when he tells Peter in the 10th chapter and 15th verse that what God has cleansed, called thou not common, he wasn't making something new. Also, we can see when she read that back in Isaiah, the time was coming that he already wanted to bring everybody together. This is an important thing for us to see today, because most people, when they read what we call the quote-unquote Old Testament, we think that it's irrelevant. But it's very relevant. It is so relevant that I want Ann to read the 11th chapter and the 43rd verse of Leviticus, while Dre goes to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. I'm talking about this message that we're given today is trying to help us understand how God talks. Remember, this is written during a time when everybody didn't have a Bible. We have an advantage, and in some things we have a disadvantage. But we can use both of them together and do a forensic. We can understand the scriptures. What does it say in 11 and 44 Leviticus?
For I am the Lord your God.
First, this is who I am. So when I say whatever I say, that's enough for you. I am the Lord your God. Please read.
You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy.
You will separate yourself, Israel, and you will be holy, Kodesh. You will be sanctified unto me. Please read.
For I am holy.
Because that's who I am. I'm separate. I'm not like Baal. I'm not like Asherah. I'm not like Molech. I'm separate. I'm holy. Please read.
Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Neither shall you make yourself stink in my nostril with any manner of creeping thing that creep upon the earth. Now, people think that God has changed. They don't realize that it was a change for them not to be able to eat it. Because in the beginning, they were able to eat it. So when he restores it back to like it was, people don't get it. Why? Because you pick up the Bible and read one part and think you know it. This is a lifetime of study. But life is a lifetime of study. Some people do it well, and some don't. Next verse, please.
For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy.
God said that I have the credentials. But Dave, that's what that means. When he said I brought you up out of Egypt and I've done all of this, I shouldn't be questioned. Because you were a slave. They were killing your children and throwing them in the river. You were building cities of Ramses. They were making you build stuff without straw. You got the baddest man at this particular time that's in this region ruling over you, and I brought you out. You had no way to do it yourself. So when I say something, jump to it. Dree, I gave you a verse to read. Please read it for me.
Therefore, the imitators of God.
I better say it again in case somebody wants to get it. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Go ahead.
As beloved children.
Be imitators of God as beloved children. This is the same theme that he told them in Leviticus. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Peter quotes it, 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. But as he which is called ye is holy, be ye holy in all manner of life, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be like me. I need you to represent me to the world, because I want to take these Gentiles, these four-footed beasts, these creeping things, these fowls of the air. Somebody say, why would you call them fowls of the air, Tim? Alexander Great in the Bible, Greece is represented as a leopard with wings, because he moved so fast and conquered the world in 7 years, okay? The bear is Medes and the Persians. They were represented as a bear in the Bible. So when you start reading the Bible, you'll see he represents things as animals. Nebuchadnezzar was represented, Babylon, as a lion. Yes, he was a lion with eagle's wings. So listen, I just gave that for free. Go back and read.
Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children,
mm-hmm.
and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us.
If the people had followed God's word when he gave his law, they would have made it so hard to not love each other. God's word was so strict that if you were my enemy, Paula, I believe it is the 21st chapter of the book of Exodus, it said, if I saw your ox and you were my enemy going astray, he said, you will go get it. And if she lives too far away, you keep it for her. That means I got to keep it and feed it till you come. Because I'm the Lord your God. So when he said walk in love, just follow what I've already given you all before, but understand why I'm telling you. Read some more.
As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us.
God gave to us first. You ought to be able to do something for somebody else if you're following me. Please read.
A fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Notice he's using the same Levitical motif. Christ gave himself for us as a sacrifice. If we die for our own sin, it's too late. What can we do? Christ died for us. Let us transfer our sins to him. And he offered himself as a sweet fragrance to God. Please read.
But sexual immorality.
But the very things that Jesus said defile, sexual immorality, the things that bring us joy, the things that bring us pleasure, don't tell me that sexual immorality has no pleasure in it. That's a damnable lie. It does bring pleasure. But it's perverted when it's outside of the realms and the parameter that God wants you to have. You think a vehicle that runs 150 miles an hour on a straight is not fun for some people to drive? But there are parameters. 75 here, 65 here, 55 here. But there are places you can drive it that fast. NASCAR. I also heard on the Autobahn. I've never been to Germany, but I heard that you can do it there. Please read.
And all impurities or covetousness must not even be named among you.
And read for me, third chapter, fifth verse of Colossians. You said covetousness. Read that part again.
Sexual immorality. And all impurity or covetousness.
Yes.
Must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints.
These are the things that are proper. Are you seeing that he always wanted us to be clean? He always wanted us to be undefiled. And now Jesus is showing what it was. Paul is reiterating it. And she mentioned one that was called covetousness. What does it say in Colossians 3 and 5?
Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
The reason that I had her to go get that, because Paul defines covetousness. He said covetousness is idolatry. Idolatry was a lot of the problem that they had with those animals. And so they, when they were deemed unclean, some of the animals that the other people would worship, that they would eat, etc., when they were sacrificed to the dead, you're not allowed to touch it. You're not allowed to eat it, because I'm going to use that as a figure of the Gentiles or the Goyim. That's what they call them, the Goyim. And then when you see that, you can understand. But the principle stands. The principle stand. This is what defiles you. Read verse number 6, Dree, in Ephesians 5. And I want you to go to Romans chapter 14, verse number 14.
Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience.
See, this is when people talk about the wrath of God and they think God is upset. But look at what is coming on. All of the sexual immorality is coming on murder, evil concupiscence. That word kind of got tickled in my tongue. Read some more. Yeah, that means it's inordinate. Go ahead.
Therefore, do not become partners with them.
Don't be defiled with them. Don't allow that to mess you up and have you unclean, because it's going to have you unacceptable. We're going to deal with that. We'll be almost through. Read some more.
For at one time you were darkness, but now are light in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that that is good and right and true.
God wants us to be separate. You were dark. Now you are light. There's a separation. I want you to walk in the light. Just like I had them to walk in the light. This animal discerned. This one is unclean. It's not evil. It's just unclean to you. If you happen to get unclean by it, wash and be clean. He didn't say he'd kill you for it. He did not say it. But don't come into my tabernacle trying to worship me while you're ritually unclean. You have to wash in the air. You have to wash and you're unclean till the evening sacrifice. Read on the next verse. This is where the goodness comes.
And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord.
King James says, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Once an individual maintains his cleanliness, his purity, he does not walk in uncleanness. He is acceptable to the Lord. That's what maturity is. That's what we want to understand when we're walking with God, that we want to be acceptable by Him. And then it tells you to have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. What do you have over there in Romans 14 and 4 for me? Drea, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 6 and 14 for me.
I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself.
We still working with Leviticus. Leviticus was a long chapter. But I feel like if someone listened to this again, Paul says, I know there is nothing unclean in of itself. It was God's decree. Please read.
But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean.
Next verse.
But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably.
If there's somebody that still feel that those things are unclean, and you're going to eat it in front of them, he's asking, are you just going to continually walk like that in front of that person? That's what he's talking about. Please read.
Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of.
Yes. The kingdom of God is what?
Is not meat and drink.
It's not those animals. It's not those animals, whether you eat it or not. Dree, I don't want you to read 1 Corinthians 6 and 14. I want you to get 2 6 and 14. It's not meat and drink, but it's what?
Righteousness.
Avoiding those true things that defile.
And peace.
Peace, one with another, you with God, me with you.
And joy.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost.
Washed by the Holy Spirit. Is it making sense that he was giving them pictures to help them mature, to learn? Those other nations don't follow me. Those other nations have practices. And so I need you to understand to be separate from them. So therefore, I picture them as the unclean animals. I picture them and I tell you they're unclean, those animals, by my decree. But in time, after you should have learned what I want you to learn, then I'm going to show you that when you come to the fullness of what I want you to come to, your job now is to go and teach them. They are no longer deemed unclean. You should have learned what I wanted you to learn to start with. Lord have mercy, in the words of Gary Merritt. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 6 and 14?
Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
What partnership has righteousness with lawlessness?
What partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? Or clean with unclean? Please read.
Or what fellowship has light with darkness?
Remember God said, "Come, you were once darkness, you are now light." It's consistent. Read.
What accord has Christ with Belial?
What accord? How did Christ and Satan and idolatry get together? It does not. Please read.
Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever?
Read.
What agreement has the temple of God with idols?
Read.
For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. And I will be their God,
and they shall be my people.
Do you understand that the maturity that God was trying to give and the separateness that he was trying to give is to show you how to live your life? I use the animals. I use the Gentiles to show you separate unto me. Be like me. I'm holy. You are supposed to be holy. Walk in love. Follow me. I don't walk with uncleanness. I walk with cleanness. Put away the things that mortify those deeds, fornication, uncleanness, evil concupiscence, murder. Get that out of your life because you're the temple of God. I wouldn't let you defile the natural temple with animals that were unclean. I wouldn't let you come in there unclean. How dare you walk around in your life, which is not supposed to represent my temple, and you are defiled. The picture is plain. But remember, it's given to those that didn't have Bibles. So it was in their culture. It was in their rituals. But they would have known that if they would just have followed God's commandments. Please read.
Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them.
Remember, in Leviticus says, you shall sanctify yourself, which means separate yourself. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and do what?
And touch no unclean thing.
Don't touch it. It's not talking about an animal. It's not talking about a goat that has been laid on the road dead. Because, you know, a dead carcass, you couldn't touch it unless you were unclean. It's talking about don't touch Belial. What concord the temple of God with idols? Don't touch those things. And what did he say?
Then I will welcome you.
Then I will welcome you. That's what the whole tabernacle was about. Come in there clean. Don't come in there unclean. Come in there asking for forgiveness so that you can walk like he wants you. And when the smoke goes up, I receive you. You accept it. I think it's pretty. Nobody else might, but I do. Next verse.
Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters to me.
And then you will be in my family. When you are mature, when you understand the difference between holy and unholy, clean and unclean, you can be received. You can be accepted by me. Then you will enter my family, and you won't be a part of the non-family. The next verse is very important. And while she's getting the next verse, I want you to go to the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I don't know which verse. I think it's the 8th verse. I'll find out by the time you get there. Please read.
Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God.
Since we have these promises, that we be separate and not defile our temple, we have these promises that he'll be our father. We'll be part of the family. We'll be accepted. Our part is to stay clean. Since we have these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting, bringing to completion holiness in the fear of God. That's our job, to continually work with it, maturing in the fear of God. And I believe it is about the 13th verse that I want. No, it's the 14th verse exactly. Please read. 1 Corinthians 7 and 14. This is talking about when a man is married to a woman that's an unbeliever. A woman is married to a man that's an unbeliever. What should they do? He may still want to go to the temple of Aphrodite. He may still want to go get one of those little boys to play with, or one of the little girls that they could do in the temple prostitute worship. That's how they worship and raise money for the temple. Or he may just not care anything about God. He may be a Stoic. He may be an Epicurean. He may have been following the teachings of Plato. All that was available back then in the first century A.D. And so Paul is giving them instruction of how to deal with if you came to the Lord and your mate didn't. Read verse 14, please.
For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy.
I wanted to show that there's a similarity between holy and unholy and clean and unclean. We go to Malachi 2, I believe it's in 13. Here the Bible says, an unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. In other words, that woman that believes, that husband has the provision of being in a family that's set apart for God. It doesn't make him a holy person. But what it does is it puts him in the position of being set apart because of her. No doubt it's probably because of her prayers. But the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. The unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband in the same manner. Else were your children unclean because they would have been impure. They would have had the same kind of lifestyle that you have. An unbelieving person, according to the scripture, is already condemned. That's what the Bible teaches in John 3 and 18. The unbelievers are already condemned. They're in the position of being enemies with God. They need to be make restitution with God so that they can be right. He said, but now they are holy. That means not that they are living a holy life, but they are set apart in the position that they can receive what we call salvation. Is any of this confusing yet? I'm trying really hard not to be confusing. I'm trying to put it out in such a way that we can look at it and taste it and see what God has got to say. Now, I believe it is what I wanted Dree to read is in Malachi 2 and 13. If I'm wrong, then I'll find it.
And this second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand.
The people that were supposed to be people of God, they had given God defiled animals. They were worshiping God in vain. They were doing wickedly, and they weren't accepted before God. And they had problems. They wanted to cry over. They had issues with it. Next verse.
But you say, why does he not? Because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth.
God wouldn't accept you because he's looking at how you deal with your wife. That's your problem, man. How do you treat your wife? There's a big issue of how God will answer your prayers and accept you. I believe this 1 Peter chapter 3 says, husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, else your prayers will be hindered. Please read.
To whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant.
Yes.
Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeks? Godly offspring.
That's the key. That's what I want us to see. That when the husband and the wife love God, when the husband treats the wife as he should, not treacherously, and God can accept them, then he can get what he wants. What did he want? He wanted godly offspring, godly seed. That's why when the unbelieving wife and the unbelieving husband get together, the children can be separated because the home can be declared a holy home. It can be declared that by decree. That may not, the husband may not live a holy life, but if he's pleased to dwell with her and not beat her and run away from her, that child can grow up and be that way. Somebody say, Tim, where do you get that from? The Bible shows this explicitly by the man that took this letter. Timothy's father was a Greek, his mother was a Jew. And he was able, because he was trained in scripture by his mother Lois and his grandmother Eunice, in the Word of God. This thing, God is wanting a holy family. God is wanting a holy seed, but he wants us to mature. Most of us never get to the place of maturity. The best some people would ever get to is to determine what kind of animals they were. But they would never discern that God does not want me to be a liar. They would never discern that God does not want me to fornicate, or that God want me to lay up with some other man, or go out here and cheat on my wife, or steal, or beat people out of stuff. And why they don't discern it, I don't understand. It must be easier to not eat this animal and to say this is unclean than to change your heart. You see, because that's what Jesus showed. You all can close your Bible. I'm through having you read scriptures. Jesus has shown explicitly that I have said before, and you have heard, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, I believe it's Matthew chapter 5, whoso look on a woman, maybe 28th verse, to commit adultery with her has committed adultery in his heart. But the scripture has already taught that, and he tell you, you shall not covet your neighbor's ox, his wife, her ass, or anything that is your neighbor. But you think because you didn't go and do it that you're not defiled. But God said, don't do it. Don't covet her. That's your neighbor's wife. And leave her alone. Revelation 20:8 says, the fearful and unbelieving, the murderers and the abominable, those are those that will be defiled. And all, and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you don't mature and separate the holy from unholy, you will never be accepted by God. You will not be a part of the family of God. You will always be one that is defiled, no matter how many good things you do for people, no matter what animals you don't eat, no matter how you wash your hands. But if you're going to be right with God, you're not going to worry about what animals you eat. You're not going to worry about how you wash your hands. I mean, you can use hygiene. But what you're going to worry about, am I defiled before God by the way I live my life, by the way that I treat my wife, by the way I treat my body as the temple of God? And when I learn that maturity of how to treat my body and honor God, I will be accepted by Him. Not only will I be accepted with Him, I will rule and reign with Him forever, because the same God that brought us here the first time without us having anything to do with it can bring us back the second time. He's already shown that when He let the plants and things look like they come back from death in the winter. He shows the same thing when it looks like the sun is coming back from being gone. He shows the same thing when He lets us awake from being asleep. When we were unconscious, He's already shown that there is something after this life. And that's the part that we need to be focusing on. Living a life in a way that we want to live in a world where people will be like what we are according to God's word. Peace, undefilement, and acceptance before Him. That's the family God is going to have. And I have to be a part of it now to be a part of it then. That's all I got to say about that. Is there anybody on this message today that have any questions, rebuttals, thoughts, or anything that they would like to add to what we've just...